couple were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and they were being interviewed about what worked so well in their marriage. And the husband spoke up and said, well, I can tell you what it is. And so anyway, the interviewer said, well, what is it? And he says, well, he said, on our honeymoon 50 years ago, we went horseback riding. And said, part of the way down the trail, the horse that my wife was on stopped. And she got off and she said, that's one. She got back on the horse and they went on down the trail a ways, and as they're going down, you know, down, the horse stops again. She gets off and looks at the horse and said, that's number two. She gets back on the horse, they're riding again, and it would, you know, would have it, the horse stops again, she gets off, pulls out a revolver and shoots the horse. Her husband says, you can't just shoot a horse like that, that's ridiculous. That's number one. Starting a series of messages this week on excellence as an alternative to success. Got some notes in your bulletin if you want to pull them out. They're short this week, but I think what we need to look at as a church is what is excellence versus success as a need in the world today. A guy by the name of David Neff said, success is the key they hand you when they like you. It doesn't matter why. They just give you the key that unlocks an upscale condo, triggers the powerful purr of a new Mercedes, and accesses the executive washroom. It's just what they give you. But he goes on to say, excellence is another brand of Brazil nut. It's what's within you. It's what you do that stretches mind and muscle. They'll hand you success when your ratings are up, your sales soar, or when the eager masses plunk down their grubby bucks to buy your stuff. And they'll snatch success away at daybreak. Success loves its one-night stand at the Ritz, but never expect it to say, I do. Success is a day tripper and a tease. Success will forget you. And I thought about that, and when I was employed with the company I worked for, they always gave a Management Excellence Award out every year in the three zones that they broke the United States up in. And I always wondered, what's the point? Doesn't everybody contribute to where we are? Isn't everybody part of how well we're doing? And in 1993, I got the award. And it says, Management Excellence. And I still got it, but I don't know why. Because I told somebody when I retired, I walked out of the company with two things, my computer bag and my pension. I have no regrets. I achieved things that, you know, few other people did. But what's it all about when you really stop and take a look at it? And I come to the realization that excellence stays with you. Excellence endures. The crowd's going to move on. Success is going to move on. But you still have your excellence. As I was walking in this morning, and I went over to talk to Bill, and Bill said something to me that means a lot. That's what I find is excellence, not success. The world needs excellence. I expect people to get it right. I expect people to be able to spell Gallagher, not Gallagher, when I say Gallagher. And when I spell it and they continue to want to put another G in there, and it really rubs on what I guess you would call one of my patience stealers, that people can't get it right. You go to a restaurant and hand the waitress or the cashier $20 and a quarter for $18.20, and they say, well, you gave me a quarter too much. You don't want to understand. I would rather have a nickel than 80 cents in my pocket. And they call the manager over, and he says, well, she's right, it's a quarter too much. And it's like, okay, but it's happened to all of us. And it'll probably happen again. And I'm not a pessimist, but look at Murphy's Law. The other line always moves faster. Friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. The light at the end of the tunnel is a locomotive. Or you can identify this one probably. Any tool dropped while repairing a vehicle will roll to the very center of the vehicle. And so I'm sure that there are situations of ineptitude that you can think about, and it really brings about that need for excellence in our lives. And I'm convinced that anyone can overcome anything. You bury someone in the snow in Valley Forge, and we have George Washington. You strike someone with infantile paralysis, and we have a president, Franklin D. Roosevelt. In a few weeks, actually September the 19th, we're going to celebrate Linda's trip to Nicaragua. Nothing can stop someone that wants to achieve something. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Excellence is difficult to define, and you try to take a look at it and you try to figure out really what is it, how can I see it, what is it? It's a style of life. That's what Bill was saying this morning, I think. It's a manner of living. It's how we live our lives. It's what our neighbors think about us when we walk away from them after talking to them. It's a bigness of spirit, I think. It's a hierarchy of values. 3 points today, and the first one is really pretty simple. I think every person, no matter who they are, has the potential to achieve excellence. I've often referred to my old buddy Peter. And you remember the story before the crucifixion, Jesus said, you will deny me 3 times. He said, oh, no, I won't. It won't be me. And a woman comes to him 3 times, and finally the 3rd time, he begins to curse, swear, and say, I didn't know the man. But yet, when Jesus arose, he said, go tell the disciples and Peter. And if you read in Acts, you'll see where Peter preached a sermon and 3,000 people joined the church. There's no recorded fact in the New Testament where any more people were reached for Jesus than that day that Peter spoke. Then there's Saul of Tarsus. We read in Acts 7:55 through 60, it says, but as Stephen, enabled by the Holy Spirit, stared into heaven and saw God's mystery and Jesus standing at God's right side, he exclaimed, look, I can see heaven on display and the human one standing at God's right side. At this, they shrieked and covered their ears. Together, they charged at him, threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses placed their coats in the care of a young man named Saul. As they battered him with stones, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, accept my life." Falling to his knees, he shouted, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." Then he died. And that man holding those coats that day was the greatest persecutor of the church up till that time. He had opposed everything that anything that wanted to happen, he was opposed to it. And what we see there is a council that was opposed to Stephen, but Stephen still maintained a spirit of excellence. We see Paul condoned it, you know, or Saul at that time condoned it, because he held their coats and I'm sure he encouraged them on. But that's not the end of Saul of Tarsus, because he became Paul, wrote over half the New Testament, who was blinded on a trip to Damascus one day, fell to the ground and was blinded. And 3 days later, he was sent to a home, and the homeowner there was told to pray for Saul, and when he did, Acts 9:18 through 20 says, "Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. He stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Right away, he began to teach about Jesus in synagogues. He said, 'He is God's son.'" So no matter where you've come from, it's about where we're going. The second thing that I think is important as we take a look at this is that involvement in the process of attaining success is intensely satisfying to the human spirit. A guy by the name of Oliver Cromwell wrote inside his Bible cover, he said, "He who ceases to be better ceases to be good." In other words, ceasing to start growing is dying. I don't know if you've heard of a man by the name of Jerry Reisdorf, but Jerry Reisdorf is the owner of the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Bulls. And he lives, obviously, in Chicago. He's now deceased, but he's delivered with those two teams 7 world championships to the city of Chicago. And he and the Chicago White Sox have received numerous honors over the years for all the money that they have given to the city of Chicago, as well as the Chicago Bulls. They have given dollars and numerous amounts of money to the needs of the city there. And when I read this week, the article said that he'd given $21 million alone to the Chicago White Sox to the city of Chicago. A very generous man. But what I thought was most interesting was about a story I read. And it was kind of an interesting thing, because most owners will give that championship ring in 2005 to every player, manager, and coach. And they'll give them to some high office executives, but not Reisdorf. He gave it to everyone. Everyone that worked for the Chicago White Sox got the same exact ring. Even Jack, the guy that was at the front gate of the parking lot, Jack got the same ring. Now, there's success with the White Sox, but there had to be some excellence inside Jerry Reisdorf to do that. And the third thing that I see when I take a look at this is excellence guarantees results. Achieving results is no easy thing. It's no easy ritual, but the one thing we can be certain about, it will eventually pay off. It's like sending your clothes to the cleaners. They're gone for a while, but they come back clean. And I'm not talking about excellence that Chrysler or General Motors try to achieve by taking government bailouts to get back to where they are. I'm not talking about people that work 60 to 70 hours a week to get management approval about what they're doing. What I'm talking about is what flows within us. What are we make up? What flows out of our heart? What flows out of our spirit? What makes us want to do better to help others achieve greatness? I heard about, no, I actually read about a story this week of there is one Honda worker in that works in for Honda in Tokyo. And what he will do every day on his lunch break is he walks down the street and straightens, I probably would never do this, the windshield wipers on all the Hondas that are parked along that street. You know, that, to me, that's what comes from within. And saying that we need excellence doesn't mean that success is bad. Because when we strive for excellence, there's going to be some overlap. There's going to be something that flows in together. But what is our desire? What do we want? Success? Or do we want excellence? I saw excellence last week. And each and every one of you. From setting up the tables, to taking down the tables, to Bill with a vacuum sweeper, to centerpieces that Sharon made, to work that Judy put in on it, to work that everybody put in on it. I saw excellence in people's hearts. Now, were we successful? Be doggone right we were. And that's where there's overlap. Back to my opening comment, success is the key they hand you when they like you. Excellence is another brand of Brazil nuts. It's what's within you. Success offers a hope for a future goal. Success provides a striven for present standard, the standard we live by. Success grants its rewards to a few, but is a dream of multitudes. Excellence is available to all of us, but is accepted by only a few. And that's a pretty disheartening fact. But I also read this statement this week and I thought it was really good. It said, in the church to possess excellence is to continue to strive and continually improve. To lack this is to merely exist and inevitably shrink to nothingness. I think excellence is mandatory for us as a church, for us as the church. The world needs us to stand up, stand against, stand for what is right, what is noble, I believe what is Christian. I don't agree with all the laws in the land. There are things I'd like to see changed. But that's not an option. I have to abide by them. Somebody asked me, what do you think about this clerk in Kentucky that refused marriage licenses? And I said, I see both sides. I see her personal convictions. But I see a law that's got to be upheld. I don't have to agree with it. Because I'd like to drive 80 miles an hour. But I can only drive 70 in Indiana. So I have to abide by that law or pay the consequences. And I'm not big on consequences. Excellence is always expensive, even if it's a mousetrap. An efficient mousetrap is expensive. They're probably 99 cents. If we want to attain excellence, we have to pay the cost. We may face some rejection. We may face some fallout. But if we're to do it right, we have to go to a different beat of a drummer. Because it has to flow from, it has to be what's in that flows without. James Russell Lowell said in a poem, and this is the last line he said, "Not failing, but low aim is a crime." I think God's calling us to excellence individually and corporately. Not just being a success. We're a success, but we want to be more excellent. We want to have that excellence flowing within us so that it flows out of us. Because I really think that's what God is looking for in our lives today.